The we'll have I don't know, we'll just do what we want to do, and we'll play a lot of stuff that's happened over the last couple of years. Actually, year to be technical, what is it? Year and 9 months, something like that. I don't know. Yeah. April 15th, 1985 I started, so it's about a year.
Isn't that the gestation period of an elephant?
Yes, and I'm expecting any moment I could be detained if the what do they call little elephants? Elephantettes pops out.
Little baby elephants. What else do you call them?
Dougal?
What?
If you don't stop making those lousy jokes, you can't even get in here. I'm telling you right now. We're going to have somebody at the door. We'll have Mitch Berg with a machine gun. At the door to see
you warmed up for later.
Yeah, for That's the right. 5 o'clock hour.
That's right. We do have Bill Kremlinger on the line. Bill.
Donnie.
Billy.
Say, I wanted to wish you best of luck.
Well, hey, listen, thank you very much. We played your song in its entirety to begin the show.
I heard that.
As a fitting, appropriate beginning for the last show, and I really appreciate you making that song. That song has gotten more mileage. It's catapulted you.
It sure has.
What's been going on in your superstar life these days?
Well, I'm trying to book a show in Chicago on a regular basis, and, you know, I'd like you to come down and be my MC when I'm down there.
No, I certainly will. You looking to play one of the big clubs or theaters?
Well, some of the smaller blues places. I think I'm getting into the, you know, getting closer to the crowd.
That's not where the big money is, babe.
Hey, I got enough money.
Oh, that's right. You did the Vegas thing,
yeah.
And so you're all set as far as money is concerned. Yeah, I understand. Well, listen, take care, and I think I'll certainly be talking to you up there. And if you play those blues places like Diddy Mulligan's and those places, let me know.
Okay. Hey, right. Don.
Yeah.
Watch your bejeebers.
I certainly will. I'll keep track of them at all times.
Oh, kiddo.
Thank you, Billy.
Bye-bye.
KSTP AM 1500.
Hi.
Hi.
I saw your ad in the paper.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I like that ad.
Good.
That's why I'm here.
Ah.
I'd like to see that Epson printer that gives better than ever results.
Oh, you mean the new Epson EX-1000?
Huh?
PC Magazine gave it quite a rave review.
Yeah, yeah, that's the one. I really need a fast-moving printer.
Sir,
The EX-1000 is one of the fastest-moving computer printers we carry. It's part of the breakthrough.
Breakthrough?
Epson's Breakthrough 87. It's the latest in breakthrough performance from the industry leader in computer products.
Well, sure, you say it's fast, but what about... Wow, that is fast.
The Epson EX-1000 can blaze through paperwork at 300 characters per second, and you can even use it with Epson's optional image scanner and optional color kits.
What's the catch? Fast but complicated to use, right?
Wrong. Epson's advanced control panel lets you change type styles and print quality at the touch of a button.
I could use one of those.
Well, you better move fast.
Right.
The Epson EX-1000 printer is available now during Epson's Breakthrough 87.
I'm going.
But you're there.
That was faster than I thought.
The Epson EX-1000 printer is available now at your authorized Epson dealer.
Suppose you're moving, and suppose you're the kind of person who likes to take matters into his own hands, but who sometimes has trouble just packing a suitcase. Well, the first thing you should do is get your hands on the Ryder Movers Guide. It's a helpful little handbook that simply tells you what to do and when to do it. It gives you easy guidelines for moving yourself, and it's yours just for the asking. So flip open your yellow pages and call Ryder now. You may find that in this case, the only way to get something done right is to do it by hand.
Buy a large pizza at a regular price, get a free medium pizza when you mention KSTP Talk Radio at the Old Piper Inn of New Hope. Eat in or take out, 544-8895. Not valid with daily specials or coupons. County Road 18 and 36th Avenue North. Old Piper Inn of New Hope, open 11 a.m. for lunch Monday through Saturday, 4:30 on Sundays. Offer good every day but Fridays through February 28th.
Do you, let me ask you this, do you have an interest in Mr. McDougal?
No!
Oh, okay.
I don't want him.
Oh, I... 3:15, McDougal has many admirers, of course, on talk radio. That was one of them. The lady who called up and expressed quite an interest in him until I asked if her interest transcended that of, shall we say, friendship, and she was very vehement about that, didn't she?
Don't understand. I used to be big with the corset crowd.
Well, you're still big, but not with the corset crowd.
Oh.
646 Talk, if you'd like to say hello, we'll certainly take your phone calls momentarily. But I wanted to get McDougal in here because he's been with me since the first day.
Oh, what a day that was.
I should have brought that tape in. Of course, I forgot. But I did play it in the last anniversary show, but it was... April 15th of 85, we started. Neither one of us knew
each other. We didn't know what was going to happen. I had heard rumors about McDougal. I did. They said, well, Don, you know, he's a pretty straight news guy. And, well, I found anything but that to be the case. Found him to be a guy like to have a lot of fun, rather gregarious sort. Cheapest, tightest man I ever met, but still a man who liked to have some fun. And I don't know how it evolved. I don't know how it began, but we just...
Who cares?
Started doing it.
It just worked.
But a gentleman called the other day and said, on your last show, get McDougal and Gordon both in there. And so we did. And, of course, McDougal, after four, can't be bothered because he's got the news of the world.
Well, I've hired a substitute for 4 o'clock, so it's I'll be able to stay with you.
Oh, yes, well, I didn't know what your situation was, John.
Yes, I'm bringing Karen Booth in to present the news at 4. And...
Yes, well, that's wonderful, and I'm glad, because then you'll be not having to do the news, Johnny.
You read that very well, Don.
Thank you. I'm
glad I wrote it that way.
646 Talk. Do we have any phone calls here we can...
Tunnel call.
Grab onto at 317. Notice how he gets that time check in there? That's beautiful, isn't it? Curtis!
Yeah, Dan.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say slam and slam.
For the Dennis Anderson Show.
Yes, and I got another moniker for you that you could use if you like to. The Fat Baddest Chat.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dan.
Appreciate it. All right. Mike.
Dan.
Mike. Mike.
I've been what?
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm going.
Say, where are you going, Mike?
I've been listening to you since you've been on for 1 year and 10 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I drive for a living. I never got the opportunity to call. And this being your last day, I took half the day off, and I got on the line right away, and I just wanted
to... You took half the day off because it was my last day?
I'd never get a chance to call you otherwise.
But Mike, Mike, now wait a minute. Now, how much money are you losing as a result of taking this half day off?
Well, no, I went in early. Well, I only lost an hour.
Oh.
It's like taking a lunch, you know, no big deal.
Oh, okay. Long as
you're worth it, Don.
As long as you're not hurting or anything.
I would have been.
I'd hate to think that you lost money on my account, Mike.
Well, it'd be worth it just to give you a call.
Oh, I don't think so.
I have a lot of respect for you over the years.
I don't think it'd be worth it, Mike, when you consider...
Just shut up. Forget it. Yes, it is.
Excuse me. I thought I was the host of the show. Guess I was wrong. I'm sorry, Mike.
What are you going to be doing on Chicago?
I didn't mean to cramp your style. None of your business. Just be doing a talk show. That's the same as I do here.
I want to be one of the millions who wish you the very best of luck. And
well,
I, for one, am very grateful for the just the time between 3 and 6 where I can sit back and laugh my butt off and have a good
time. Thank you, but you better take care of that butt. you're driving a truck?
Yeah.
You know what you're doing?
Yeah.
Well, it's pretty hard to drive without that butt.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Sure.
So...
I wish you the very best of luck, and I'm pulling for you, and I hope to hear you again in Chicago sometime.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it, Ed. Stay on your butt. 646 Talk. We'll have the mailbag in a couple minutes. We thought we'd do one more. We'll do it after the weather, and McDougal has a beautiful letter he wants to read in my behalf. Terry.
Yeah, Don.
Yeah.
I lost money on your behalf last night.
I got a lot of stupid... I mean, how did you do that, sir? What did you do?
Well, I'm a taxi driver, right? Mm-hmm. And I drove all the way up to Maplewood to drop off a tape for you.
Which tape was this now?
It's a cassette tape of my music. I just figured, God, you know, you got... good taste, Don. I mean,
yeah.
You have better taste than most of the, all of the disc jockeys around here, anyway.
Yeah.
And I was hoping you'd like my music, so I just thought I'd drop off a tape for you.
Hey, who paid the cab fare?
I did.
Oh.
It was on me.
Well, Terry, it's rather short notice on the last day I'm going to be here to bring your music over.
No, I didn't want you to play it. I just wanted you to listen to it for your own pleasure.
Oh, for my listening and dancing pleasure. I see.
I even got to meet Mitch Berg.
That must have been a thrill.
No, it was a thrill and a half.
Did he frisk you, as he usually does,
hoping
people have weapons he can steal?
He went to shake my hand, and I hit the floor right away because I thought he was going for his gun.
I know, that usually happens. Well, I didn't get a chance to hear your music, but...
I hope you get that tape and then take it to Chicago with you.
Terry, I'll clutch it to my bosom.
Good man.
I love tapes in my bosom anyway.
All right, don't get it too sweaty or anything.
Thank you very much. No, sir, I never perspire. 29 degrees... Well, sometimes they do. Partly cloudy, high 32. Actually, McDougal wrote partly cloudy, mostly sunny, right? Something. What did you write? Partly cloudy,
no,
mostly
sunny. The sun is going to come out.
See, I always abbreviate McDougal's forecast because he writes about 5-minute long forecasts.
No, I don't either.
Manage to abbreviate them somehow.
I'm making them very brief.
Yes, sir, very brief.
We're going to see some sun by the end of the afternoon.
With a high 32. So all I wanted to say was partly cloudy, high 32. Tonight, decreasingly cloudy. Fog possible by tomorrow morning.
No, until tomorrow morning. Could be tonight, could be tomorrow morning.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I was talking about before?
Just say fog possible. That's all you need to say. With a low 19. Tomorrow.
He gets paid by the word.
He must. If he did, he'd be, of course, he is a millionaire anyway because he never spends a nickel. Tomorrow, 20% chance of white snow with a high 32. Now, see, that's written all right. It's not bad.
That's not too
bad. He could have said slight chance of light snow, but 20% is okay. Not bad. What is it, Dave?
How long have we been doing this show now? How long do I give you the temperature, and 20 seconds later, you can't remember it? Do you know how angry that makes me?
See what you've done.
No, Dave, how angry does it make
you? It makes me so angry, I could... Good.
Oh. What is it, 28 now?
I think he just...
29! It's 29 degrees!
29 degrees.
Seconds ago, 29
degrees! Yes, that's what it is, 29 degrees. We do have a John McDougal-like forecast. Should we play that now and then we take a break? All right, here we go.
Hi, Brucey. Let me give that weather in McDougal's voice again.
Oh, please do.
It's 85 degrees, Bruce. Severe heat. For this time of year, oppressive, Brucey. Don't venture out of the studio. You'll die. You'll fall to the...
Shocking Blue Burger. Venus was her name.
It's okay, Barry. You're going to get wasted. Ladies and gentlemen, as a special feature of the afternoon show today and my last day after 5 o'clock, we're going to murder in cold blood all of my characters, at least most of them. There are a couple that we will leave standing. However, most of them will be shot in cold blood. We'll be machine gunned to death. We'll find out if they have any last words, and then away they go. Six words, six talk. Because we want to end on a sentimental note, so we thought we'd just blow them all away during the final hour. We'll be machine gunned to death. We'll find out if they have any last words, and then away they go. Six words, six talk. Because we want to end on a sentimental note, so we thought we'd just blow them all away during the final hour. I have, as far as I'm concerned, the best news anchor in the Twin Cities, yeah. Mr. Paul Majors on the line. Paul.
Don, how are you?
All right, sir. How are you?
Good. I have a trivia question for you.
Okay, what is it?
All right. Who did the Chicago Cubs trade
Clubs?
Ron Fay for?
Listen, if it's a bag of baseballs, it's fine with me. Louis Quiñones.
You got it. A big 179 hitter.
That's right. I don't care. As long as I got rid of Ron Say, that's the main thing.
But here's the part I like. I'm
trying to dump that guy for 5 years.
Here's what they didn't get rid of. He apparently still has his attendance contract concerning that clause concerning Wrigley Field. So while he's sitting out in Oakland making his $950,000, if the Wrigley Field, if they hit over $2 million, he'll make a little more dough out in Oakland. Isn't that amazing?
That makes sense to me, sure.
Are there too many lawyers in the world, or is it just me?
Yeah, I think that, it's worth it to me as long as he's out of town.
Why is this guy doing the sports? Is there any reason for that?
Because you never can tell in the news biz what's going to happen. Hey, since I'm going back to Chicago, you want me to tell your brother anything for you? Or?
Just tell him that he still owes me the $15 from the Super Bowl bet.
He took Denver?
Yeah.
He was as stupid as Bruce Gordon.
He wasn't exactly the brightest of the lot.
I guess not.
No.
Just as dumb as Gordon.
Yeah, since he was the oldest in the family, he was sort of a test case. But you're going to be working down there right beside him, buddy.
That'll
be
interesting
and fun.
We'll be in the same place, although I understand that Channel 5, which is NBC Television in Chicago, is supposed to move out of that building, I heard.
Oh, they are?
That's what I heard today. I don't know if it's true or not. But
Well, they do have a nice newsroom. I've been in there a couple times.
For the time being, we'll be in the Merchandise Mart, so if you talk to him, tell him to come up and say hello.
Oh, I will, absolutely. Yeah, I just wanted to wish you the best of luck and all kinds of success, and... we're going to miss you around the Twin Cities.
Well, thank you, Paul. It's nice to hear from you. I've always enjoyed your work a lot.
Well, thank you. And at least when you go to a baseball game, you'll be outdoors, so.
That's true, and that's what I'm looking forward to.
Oh, my God, I know.
Thank you.
All right, well, take care, Don.
Take care, Paul.
And, oh, wait.
Yes.
Barry the Van says so long to you.
I knew you'd get care in. You see,
well,
I knew.
I had to do this. Barry the Van. I might as well throw in the entire sports office. They're all staring at me. Cliff Siegel, who met you like a week ago from our sales department.
Uh-huh.
Randy Shaver, Jeff Passel, Tom Ryder.
Well, thank
can I say Tom Ryder's name on Stanley Hubbard's air?
You care. You know what
we
matters.
Know what matters.
Yes, and...
all right.
Well, thank all of them for me, and take care, and I hope you have a productive career as you have already.
Thanks, Don. Best wishes to you.
Thank you very much. Paul Majors, a very nice man, and a top-flight news anchor. Ladies and gentlemen, we thought... that we ought to have one more mailbag, and we do have the appropriate letter to use on this mailbag, McDougal. So should we venture on down the hall to the mail room?
Our last trip.
Yes.
Down the hall.
Lago, eagle, toggle, toogie, womp, pomp, sooby, scooby, babby, booby, ribbity-ta, ramini-mo, oobity-bopty-bopty-bo, coo. Yes, indeed.
Oh, remember the first day we did that, I didn't believe what I had done. But I did it.
Breaking his image of credibility.
Well, let's shuffle around here in the big designer mailbag.
Mm-hmm.
Will forever remain empty now, I presume. Of course, it could hold both of us. It's so big. Ah, okay, here we are.
This is a beautiful letter, ladies and gentlemen, and I thought it was worthy of our last day here.
Well, most of it has been censored, it appears, but...
Well, most of it's not that relevant. It's just the certain parts that I think...
Yes. Oh, yes. Now that I see the whole thing here, I can see where this... This is from H. Fox.
Now, Howard, I wish you could write those letters.
I spoil some for you. Don Vogel the hypocrite. The way it starts. Oh, boy. Can't stand to see any animals killed. Oh, what a nice human being you are. I think that's with the proper delivery to this thing, because the rest of it, as you say, is irrelevant, but the conclusion is, you're a sleazy character, and I'm glad you're leaving.
Well, thank you, H. Certainly nice to hear from you.
Here's
and again,
another one.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another one here from, our friend Indy Rutz.
Yes, Indy, of course, who sent us the weird tapes.
Yes, he says, it's been a real treat listening to your show. Thanks for the great entertainment. Thanks for also playing stuff from the tapes I've sent you.
Well, we'd be stupid if we didn't, Indy.
Yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed them. If you decide not to take them with you to Chicago, I hope you'll leave them in the capable hands of David, Mitch, and Bruce. Hey, Indy, I'm here too.
Indy, I'm taking them.
Well,
just a minute. He said that they were supposed to stay here.
He said, if I don't take them.
Yeah, that's right there.
If try listen, Gordon, you'll learn something, okay?
I was kind of hoping that you'd leave.
Were you doing something else when you should have been listening?
Yes, I was.
Well, then keep doing it.
Okay,
that's right.
Let's see. Continuing, best wishes and high ratings in Chicago. Maybe if I and the rest of your Twin City fans are lucky, you'll be on a nationwide network someday. Will that be nice?
It's like Larry King.
Yeah, oh, dear.
Minneapolis, hello.
He's going to alert his friends in Milwaukee.
We tried to get Larry on the show today, as a matter of fact, for the last day, because he was on my first show. He's on the anniversary show. So we tried to get him today, but it seems that Angie Dickinson's in town. That's all I'll say about that. All
whatever
right.
Whatever happened to Michelle Phillips?
Well, Michelle wouldn't give him a tumble, so he's going to see if a policewoman will arrest him.
No, I'm not going to do what I'm
going to do. No, I neither am I. I'm not going to do it.
Going to see if she can make a citizen's arrest on him, I guess. and bust him. Well, we're going to...
Run!
One of them all planned. One of the more pleasant busts I've ever had. Well,
okay.
We're going to...
Where do you, we're going to what, did you say?
Take a little pause of the action here. And then, Bruce Gordon will certainly do his sports as he always has done. Tagada, 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 tagada. Riva, riva. One more time.
Okay.
Like the way he changes key. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Trini Lopez, one of the true music giants of our industry. And we saluted him so many times that it sickens me to salute him again. But he deserves each and every sickening salute that we give him, I think, doesn't he?
I think so. Did the fame start with your praise for him, or was the fame before you even recognized?
I think he had fame certainly before that. However, since we resurrected his otherwise floundering career, I think people have come to recognize him for what he is.
I just think it's a management problem.
Yeah, I think
so. If he had a better manager, he would really...
You know, you get lined up with the wrong agents and, Trini, come on, I could do this, baby. You know, you get some of those people and they... They end up hurting your career, but...
kind of a friend of the family sort of deal. And
When we realized and we took people back to the roots of Trini, and what roots they are, they realized the power of the man, the beauty of the man, the fiber of the man, if you will.
That's right. And that's what brought him to today's prominence.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Paul Major's already pointed out the lead story of today, so there's no sense in doing any more sports. No, we were talking about Ron Sabe.
So glad to be rid of that guy.
Oakland A's. You've never been a fan of his.
Well, he's slow. I mean, he's so... I mean,
yes, he is.
I can almost outrun him to first
yes,
base.
Yes, you could.
He's lost his ability to hit anything else but a home run every 50 times at bat.
Did you like him when they first got him?
No. I didn't want... I mean, he was old, you know?
Who did they trade for?
He's got no range at third base. They didn't give up much for him. But he's got no range.
Yeah.
He's a total waste of time. Probably should be shot. And
got it, fella.
Yeah. A very sad doggone it today, Bill.
Yeah, you're going. I
noticed
it. I hate
it.
To admit it, fella, but I'm a sad person today.
Oh, Bill.
Because you're leaving.
Bill, that's beautiful. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go back to the beginnings, the genesis of Bill Quillacy, if you will. Bill, of course, who is the new and improved Bill as opposed to the original Bill.
The bogus Bill, I call him.
Yeah, used to call. And Bill, is it fair to say attempt to sort of disrupt talk shows? Is that fair?
Yeah. In a variety of ways.
Yeah. And
not me, though.
No, it wasn't you. The first guy started it, but then you sort of chimed in at one point.
Okay.
And management used to say, try to screen those guys out. But we found after a while that it was worthless. First of all, they'd keep calling back anyway. They'd change their voice. They'd say, all right, I want to talk to Don about Nicaragua. Then you'd put them on. They'd go, Don got it, and hang up. So we found it was worthless to try to screen them out, so we got to know them. And, oh, is it our game?
Getting to know you.
And we found that it was to our benefit, Bruce. Wouldn't you agree to get to know these people?
No question. It's,
of course.
It's really enlightened us. It's been a great experience.
That's right. I think it all started around Christmas time of 85. When we talked about what Bill and his friends might be doing, eating lead chips in their home. Picking them off the wall, the pieces of paint, and just consuming them in big bowls like potato chips.
Well, I went to the store today, fella, the book shop, and I got the Chicago paper. I got the city edition. You know why?
Why?
They got the want ads, fella.
Oh,
and I'm looking at this job at the lead chip factory. I can work there, and I can bug you, too.
Well, sure. So all of that, how can you beat it, right?
Well, Doc, you gotta give me a secret number, fella.
As soon as I find out what it is, I will, Bill, and I appreciate hearing from you.
Thank you.
Thank
Goodbye.
You very much. Goodbye, Bill. Things are so touching, aren't they?
Yeah.
Sometimes the real Bill will still call up, the original Bill will still call up and make his presence felt by yelling, Chadwick, what a kid! And hanging up, or stinking commie liberals and hang up. So,
or any stinking
any stinking pervert.
For no apparent reason.
No. He seems a bit more hostile than the other Bill.
Yeah.
I think maybe...
We haven't known him
as like intimately as the other Bill. No.
No.
Anything else going on in sports
today? Well, we should mention the North Stars are taking on the Edmonton Oilers tonight in Edmonton.
Yeah.
I'll have North Star Countdown beginning at 8 o'clock.
And again, I'll be listening, of course.
Of course. And if you're not, I'll be giving you a little call. Now, see, are you leaving tonight for Chicago?
No, we're going Sunday.
On Sunday. So you will be able to listen to the game then.
Well, that's why we're going Sunday.
No, because of the game.
Yeah. See,
well, you know, we do have a game Sunday night as
see,
well.
See, my wife wanted to leave tomorrow. I said, honey,
yeah?
If we could just wait till Sunday... No, they're not playing tomorrow. It doesn't work. She wanted to leave tonight.
She wanted to leave tonight.
That makes the joke work better. Yeah, and I said, honey, we can't because the North Stars are playing the Oilers.
Mm-hmm.
And Bruce Gordon's Countdown, 8 o'clock,
yeah.
The game at 8:30, post-game show after that. Or, as we've been known to call them in the past, the foreplay will be at 8 o'clock, the consummation at 8:30, and the want a cigarette will be after that. And so... I said, just this one time, when it's the last North Star game I'll be able to hear, could we just wait till Sunday?
And we said...
Yeah. She said, well, I really hate to leave. But then she said, you know, in retrospect, I'd sort of like to hear the game myself.
She wanted to hear the game.
We both did.
She's really become a little hockey fan, hasn't
yes,
she?
Yes, she really has.
Yeah.
And so we're both going to be cuddling with the North Stars tonight at about 8:30 or so.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, at 8 o'clock. With the
8 o'clock with the countdown.
With Bruce Gordon.
Yes. And then Al...
Remington?
Shaver will have the play-by-play at 8:30.
And we'll be listening.
Thanks.
Hello, Dusty.
Hi there.
Yes, sir.
Yes, hey, just wanted to bring past a little past history. The first time that I ever listened to you, Donnie, that was back in November of 1985.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of hysteria going around in town. Now, remember, you called up to the Jeff Charles show, and the first words that I ever heard you utter were, I'm surprised they hired such a slippery eel.
Who was the eel?
That was when Lou Holtz left town.
Oh, I see. We do have that song. People who want to hear that song again. I can't imagine why, but they do. So, would you like to hear that song?
Sure, and I just have one last thing I wrote for you. And that is, Donnie, your fanny may be large, but it is certainly not a barge.
Thank you, Dusty. It's beautiful. Thank you very much. A little rusty, but a little dusty. So after we take a break here, what day we want to play like a roving coach, we'll get that out of the way once and for all. Don Vogel, AM. I knew that I would now. Did a little it. I feel good. David, do we have that tape of me in the kitchen from a couple
years
ago?
Yeah, we do. I don't know why you'd want to hear it.
Well, that just reminded me of it because we heard this. And David taped me singing this one time in the kitchen without my knowledge and then played it back.
It'll take me a second to find it.
A little bit later on. In the meantime, we have... you know Dick, who calls me up and says stupid things and abuses me? Well, he's actually come by the studio today. We frisked him outside. He was unarmed. And he's actually come into the studio today. And Dick, what the heck do you want? I thought I'd be rid of you, but no, you're here.
Well, I've certainly learned one thing, Don, and that is that they won't have to fill big shoes with you gone. They're going to have to fill a very big chair. My God, the dents you've left in that chair. John McDougal couldn't sit in those dents.
Whoa. That's saying something, huh? Well, how did you get in here? First of all, I thought a receptionist had better taste.
I snuck in, obviously,
John.
The other thing that I wanted to say was apparently your friends here haven't described your surroundings because you certainly wouldn't leave if you could see them. I mean, the nudist camp outside. They didn't tell you about that,
no,
did
I
they?
No, I never heard about that, no.
Yeah, good-looking girls out there.
Uh-huh.
Don, I've got something that I want to give to you right now. This is a horseshoe.
Yes.
Handle it with care. I haven't cleaned it off, though, because it's a little
still
messy.
Got the manure on it.
I thought that would be appropriate for you, Don.
Well, that's great, Dick. Thank you very much. And brings a nice aroma, a nice fragrance to the studio, which I certainly appreciate.
Well, have a good time in Chicago.
Well, listen, it's very nice of you.
We're going to miss you.
Certainly made contributions to the program, and it shows what kind of program we have that you can make a contribution to it, I think.
Goodbye, Don.
All right, Dick. Take care. Thank you very much. All right, that's Dick, our Mr. Abuse of 1987. Okay, David recorded this.
Unbeknownst to you,
yes.
You and Jeff Charles pretending to be hip in the kitchen.
Yes, doing our pseudo black thing.
Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen.
Are you hip? Little, I can do that new breed thing. Little, ain't no drag. Got a brand new bag.
Yes, that was actually Papa's Got a Brand New Bag, not I Feel Good.